The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud him with thunders of praise. The sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall behold him then face to face. We shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. We shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face. Savior and Lord, the angels shall sound the shout of his coming. Sleeping shall rise from their slumbering place, and those who remain shall be changed in a moment, and we shall behold him then face to
the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I've had a real burden lately for my own self and for the growth of faith in my life. I've yearned that my faith would be increased, that my faith would be multiplied. And I've been praying earnestly about that matter because I believe it is a matter of deep spiritual concern. God bless you there, Brother Organist, this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know much about music, but I like it. Amen. I'm preaching this morning on the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, I don't know, but somehow those words have sounded different to me for some time now. It doesn't just mean the just shall pray by faith. It doesn't just mean the just will try to have faith in some precarious moment. But it means the just shall literally live by faith. That faith is to become the whole hallmark of our life. That we are to live by faith 7 days a week, 24/7. That God wants us to trust Him. And to trust Him explicitly and perfectly. And I will read to you from Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 1. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, the book of Hebrews. We'll begin reading with verse 1. We're delighted to have a visitor with Sister Marilyn this morning. Again, she's been here before. We're glad to have you, dear lady. And God bless your sweetheart. I hope you'll just keep coming. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen, now we look at, were not made of things which do appear. In other words, the things we now see was not made by something that was already in existence. Literally spoken out of complete darkness, this great truth of creation. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by faith, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. How about that? It's beautiful to realize that Abel is still talking 6,000 years later. Why is he talking? Because by faith he worshiped God. By faith he offered a proper sacrifice. Refused to go the way of the world, but was determined to go the way of God. One man called me on the radio yesterday and said, you act like you come out of the, what was that word he used? Medieval. Out of the medieval age. Now, I've been called aged before, but I've never been called medieval ages. I mean, that goes back, what, 1500, 1600 year, AD, 400 years ago. I mean, he said, you act like you out of the medieval period. I said, sir, I'm just speaking exactly what's in the Bible. Isn't that what you want me to do? You need. Well, he didn't say it. I got this from him, that the Bible has to be translated in the proper atmosphere and the proper thinking of today. You don't speak it as it spoke back then. You speak it as is current and understood today. I wouldn't even know how to do that because there's 10,000 ideas out there, and how could you be like all of them? That would be impossible. But it says that Abel worshipped by faith. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. One more verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Can I read that again? For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You may be seated. Will you stretch your hand toward Brother Chambers and ask the Holy Spirit of God to anoint me with words of wisdom that are perfectly in harmony with his will, that I will speak as the oracles of God, that I will preach as of the ability that God giveth me. It's so important that I do that. Now the message, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Living by faith is not a matter of just praying by faith. Living by faith is not just a matter of praying by faith. Living by faith is a lifestyle. Living by faith is a continuous lifestyle. Living by faith is a 24/7 experience in every day for the believer. God has called us to live by faith. God has ordained that we live by faith. God has prescribed that we live by faith. That we live by faith. Now, I've been repenting personally over the multitude of times that I have been bothered by emotions, bothered by talk, bothered by somebody's action, bothered by something disturbing, something emotional, something physical, something that was happening around me. I've repented. I've repented now lately for some days now over every time I've ever been moved by emotion and by doubts and by fears and by anticipations of some catastrophe. I've repented. I've asked God to forgive me. Because I've come to realize that when I am moved by anything but faith, that I'm transgressing what God has intended for my life. That God wants me to learn to live by faith. As a preacher, a pastor, a shepherd, a speaker to lots of people, it is imperative that I live by faith. And that I don't get up in the morning because I feel bad and go around with my head hanging down all day because I feel a little bit under the weather. I'm to lift my head, I'm to smile, and I'm to be full of faith, trust, confidence, depending wholly and only on God. I am to live by faith. Do you get the message? Our whole life, every day, our job, our home, our church, everything about us, we must learn to live by faith. That's God's will. The just shall live. L-I-V-E. You understand that word live is a matter of a continuous existence right here on this earth. A continuing lifestyle. A continuous attitude. A way of looking at everything that relates to my life has got to be by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now I can tell you that Satan will attack your mind. Satan will attack your emotions. Satan will give you symptoms of some dreaded disease. Did you know that at least 70% of all symptoms that our body ever feels is attacked by Satan? At least 70% of all the emotional feelings that our physical body, pain, just difficulties, whatever it may be, at least 70% of it is the work of the devil, or is the work of our doubts, or is the work of our fears, or is the work of something somebody told us that got a hold of us and we thought, sure, that was going to happen to us. That which I have feared, the Bible speaks, has come upon me. That which I have feared has come upon me. That's a statement revealing how Satan will do everything in his power to bring fears, to bring doubts, to bring confusion, to bring all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of feelings, all kinds of gossip into your heart and your ears and your life, because he wants to make you doubt. He wants to make you fearful. He wants to make you negative. He wants to make you depressed. He will even obsess you if you give him an opportunity. The devil is out to do all of that. And if there is one great truth that helps us overcome all of that, it is learning to live by faith. Do you get the message? It is learning to live by faith. Now, in my study, in my searching, I have identified seven things that I consider to be areas of our life that we must learn to live by faith in. These are areas. These are things that has to do with your life. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, until you're out of here, you're going to have to deal with these things. And I want to show you, if I can this morning, by the scripture, that God has made provision of you to take each of these seven characteristics of your future and of your life and to live them by faith. Okay? Are you with me? You may want to write them down, but I'll make sure they're typed and made available. I want to talk about the seven areas of your life that you must learn to live by faith. Number one. Now, this is so important that I cannot emphasize it too much. This is so important. Now, let me start by telling you something to preclude this. Number one, you are responsible to keep every commitment and standard in this Bible. You're responsible to live by the Bible. You're responsible to keep the Ten Commandments. You're responsible to keep every great teaching in that Bible. Jesus said, if you say, John said it really, but it was the Holy Ghost and Jesus saying it. He said, if you say you love me and do not keep my commandments, he said, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. So it is your duty to live by the Bible. And if you live by the Bible, there is a personal righteousness that goes with that. You know, good people who live right, you can't help but say they have a righteousness that has been produced by their life. But that will not save you. That will not save not one sinner. You'll find in the New Testament numbers of people who came to Christ and they could say, I've kept the commandments from my youth up. And Jesus will say, one thing thou lackest, you know. Always he was saying that because it was not the personal righteousness that prepared you to walk with Christ and to walk with the King. There is a righteousness that only comes by faith. Only comes by faith. You cannot experience the righteousness of Christ by how good you live, by how good you talk, by how good you go to right places, by how much you read the Bible. Righteousness by faith is a righteousness he imputes and then imparts to you. And it's bigger than you are. It's bigger than your capacity. It's bigger than all of your struggles. It's bigger than all of your keeping commandments. It's bigger than everything you can do. It is a righteousness that you receive by faith. Do you grab this now? I want you to get a hold of this. I want it to get in you until you become so hungry for the righteousness which is of Christ, for the righteousness which comes by faith, the righteousness which he imparts, imputes, and makes available to you and fills you with. That's what makes people shine. Your living good makes you acceptable. It makes you a more enjoyable person. Your living good will make you a better church member. Your living good will make you a better mama and a better daddy and a better everything you are. And you ought to live good. You ought to live as good as you can live. You get rid of sin. You get that mess out of your life. You keep God's commandments. But when you've done all of that, you remember there is a righteousness that comes by faith that will lift you up, that will put a shine on your face, that will put a spark in your soul, that will put a jump in your heels. It'll do for you what your good living will never do. The just shall live by faith. Now let me take you to a scripture because I want you to get this way down deep. The book of Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith. Justified by faith. Justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful experience. That's what happened when you got saved. That's what happened when you were born again. Some of you were pretty good, and some of you were like me, just plain old rascals. Some of you had never done really any bad things. But some of us had done terrible things. We all had to be justified by faith to become a believer. Regardless of how good you'd been, you still had to be saved, born again. Your children that are raised by you, that you just teach them as strict as you can and keep them doing right all the way as much as possible, they still must be born again. And that's when you receive righteousness by faith. Everybody understand this? Raise your hand. How many know you got to be justified by faith? Come on, raise your hand. You know we got to be justified by faith. First, he imputes righteousness. He actually takes a sinner, a rascal, just like I was, lying, cheating, stealing, just doing everything I knew to do and many things I didn't know to do. I mean, you don't want to know how I lived before I got saved. I'm just not going to tell you. My wife don't know things I did before I got saved. They were terrible. I'm so ashamed of them. I am so ashamed of them. But the moment I came to Christ and he received me, he imputed righteousness into me so that immediately I felt purer and clean and holy, and all of those sins were gone. They weren't just gone. They were gone forever. They were cast behind the back of God, one scripture says. They were removed from me as far as the east is from the west, the Bible says. That's justification by faith. By faith. Did you hear me? By faith. It comes to you by faith. If you don't believe, you can't have it. You got to come to him and surrender to him by faith. Now, that kind of righteousness that comes to you by justification is just the beginning of the Christian walk. It's just the initial moments of being born again. Oh, it makes a new creature out of you. It makes a new creature out of you. But there's trouble down the road if you don't go any further. Oh, there's trouble down the road if that's all you do. That's what's wrong with most of our church world. Many people have come down to an altar, received Christ, many times just words, no experience, and believe that they were justified by faith, and they never go any further. And so they get in terrible trouble down the road, and you're going to. But then, Jesus said something in that Sermon on the Mount. That's in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. You may turn to it if you would like. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. He says very powerfully, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." Did you hear that? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, I love those words. I think they're just breathtaking. He says, "For they shall be filled." F-I-L-L-E-D. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be F-I-L-L-E-D, filled. Isn't that beautiful? That God has forgiven me. He's justified me. He's taken away my guilt. He's cast it behind his back as far as the east is from the west. He's made a new creature out of me, but he's not finished yet. And now, if I will hunger and thirst after him, he will then continue to fill me with his righteousness. And there will be a growing, a maturing, an ever-expanding life of righteousness, so that things that yesterday I couldn't handle, tomorrow I can, because righteousness has filled my soul. Yesterday, that man made me some kind of angry, and I responded like I shouldn't. Now, this didn't really happen. I'm giving an example here. And tomorrow, because I've sought after his righteousness, it comes simple, and my soul just responds like a Christian ought to respond. Now, you need to understand that once you've done good, and once you've kept the commandments, and once you've lived right, and then number two, now you've been born again, you've been justified by faith, and he's made a new creature out of you. He's thrown your sins behind his back. Now you have a duty and a joy of living by faith. And living by faith is living in hunger and thirst after his righteousness the rest of your life. Don't you ever stop hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Because if you do, you're going to get in trouble. Somebody help me here, will you? hungering and thirsting after righteousness, Brother Allen. Hungering and thirsting that more and more His nature will fill me and saturate me and flood me and pour through me and pour upon me and change me. Ooh, hallelujah. Somebody raise your hand and praise Him, because He wants to make you purer and purer and purer. He wants to make you holy and holier and holier and holier. He wants to make you until you grow in likeness to Him, so that He is seen in you. Oh, it's a mighty shimaba. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I love it. I love it. I love it that by faith I can become more and more righteous every day the rest of my life. Hallelujah. I don't ever have to quit growing. I don't ever have to quit expanding. I can become more and more and more like Him. The church world don't even grasp most of this. And that's why we got churches so full of worldly people who do the best they know to do, or think they know to do, or think they can do, because they don't understand there is a source called faith where righteousness is imparted, ever filling, ever overwhelming, ever baptizing. No wonder Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 29, I believe it was, 27, he said it very plainly. He said, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself might become a castaway. I want to look you in the face and tell you, there's not one person in this building that doesn't have the possibility of becoming a castaway. There's not a one of you that don't have the possibility of falling in the gutter and living like a pig. There's not a one of you that don't have the capacity to go far, far away from God and away from Christ, of which and for which you may never return. In many cases, you may return. Let me tell you a story. There was a young preacher. He was at Lee College. He was studying for the ministry. My Teresa and my Tanya used to go hear him in revivals where he'd be preaching around Lee College and around Cleveland, Tennessee. Precious young man. Well, we were doing a big rally over here at the Evans Auditorium because they were having a homosexual transvestite party. They were exploiting the idea of transvestite living. They was in the process of making it acceptable to America, and now many insurance policies will actually pay for someone to be changed to a different sex. Many insurance policies are now paying for that. I mean, we're just in a mess. And this young preacher had got involved while he was at Lee College, had got involved in homosexuality, and had gone deeper and deeper. And so he showed up that night with his signs and started moving among the crowd, among the media especially, and saying, I'm a church of God preacher just like Reverend Chambers. I'm ordained in the same church he's involved in, but I'm a homosexual and there's nothing wrong with it. And he just made one mess that night for the whole event. Well, we kept it pure, and we didn't react to him ugly, and God somehow protected us, and it wasn't, you know, probably most of you never even heard about it. But it was really a very sad moment. Here, a young preacher, a gospel preacher, a good preacher, as my girls would tell you, an anointed preacher that knew God, that knew Christ, and he fell into the pig pen. Well, this story ended wonderfully, and I'm glad to tell you that. I was at Duke University visiting Juanita's mother. She was in the hospital before she died for some time, and a man came looking for me. He said, Brother Chambers, my son's upstairs in another room, and he wants to know if you'll come up to see him. I said, of course I will. And I knew the daddy. I knew he was the daddy of this boy. These were Eastern North Carolina church people. And so I went up to the room with this young preacher, and I got in the room. His girlfriend was sitting there. He said, Brother Chambers, I wanted to apologize. I wanted to ask you to forgive me for what I did. He said, I've repented, and I've come back to Christ, and I'm now a Christian, but I'm very sick. I've come down with AIDS. A few days later, he died. Thank God he went on to heaven because he had repented and he'd come to Christ and God had found him and dug him out of that ditch, out of that gutter. But you know something? If he would have lived what I'm preaching tonight, that would have, this morning, that would have never happened to him. I'm here to tell you, if you will hunger and thirst after righteousness all the days of your life, and you stay on the altar and you live by faith, the devil can no more touch you. He can't touch you with 1,000 swords and 1,000 evil demons when you live by faith and you hunger after the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. Don't you ever quit hungering after this righteousness. This is your keeping life, friend. This is your keeping strength, my brothers and my sisters. You live after his righteousness, and you will survive whatever comes down the road. Hallelujah. So remember, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now raise your hand if you're with me and say that with me. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. He's able to set upon you like a mighty tornado of beauty and love and righteousness. He's able to build you up in the faith until you shine like a light of heaven. He's able to make you gentle and tender and kind and forgiving. He's able to fill you with his likeness until you represent him everywhere you go and everything you do, because you've hungered and thirsted after his righteousness by faith. By faith. Did you get it? Living by faith. Living by faith. There's no end to that, Brother Aaron. There's no end to it. We got to live by faith all the days of our life. There's no place and point where you can do it on your own. See, the opposite of living by faith is doing it on your own. You understand that? That's the opposite of living by faith. Now, I want you to write that one down. By faith, you can grow in righteousness. By faith, by trusting the Lord, by trusting the power of the blood, by trusting the work of the Holy Spirit, by trusting the promise of the Bible, by depending and leaning and relying on God by faith. This has nothing to do with your works and your good living and your good labor. This has to do with faith. All the other things are very necessary. You can't build a life of faith out of a rotten life of disobedience. You can't build a life of faith out of continually doing things you know is wrong. You can't build a life of faith out of breaking God's commandments and breaking God's laws. That's the basis. That's the foundation. But out of that, faith will enable you to grow and mature in the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Oh, I tell you, that's a good one to me. That's a good one to me. Living by faith, trusting in his righteousness. Now, number two, this is really important. Really important. Worship by faith. Worship by faith. How many times have you and I come into this sanctuary or gone into a church somewhere, and because we didn't feel nothing, because the music wasn't especially special, because somehow things just didn't sound good, just somehow it was a bad day, you're set there like a stone, like a rock. You sit there with just nothing but an old grumpy feeling, an old doubtful feeling, an old fearful feeling, when the Bible says we're to worship by faith. We don't worship because we feel 1,000 blessings. We don't worship because the joy of the Lord is moving up and down the avenue of our emotions. We don't worship because the singing is spectacular. We worship because we belong to him. We worship because he is ours and we are his. We worship because he's awesome. We worship because he's the grandest Father, the grandest Heavenly Father. We worship because Jesus is seated at his right hands. We worship because he walks up and down in the midst of the candlesticks. Hallelujah. You don't always feel him, but he's there. So we worship by faith. Now are you with me? Now are you with me? Now you think, I got to get this in your head. You think how often you go to church, and because it happens to be one of those dry days, you just sit there and you're dry with it. Now, is this true or not true? How many of you have ever literally got nothing out of a church service because it wasn't a good time and the emotion wasn't right? Would you mind raising your hand with me? And I'm raising mine. Got nothing out of church. Got nothing. How many times? I've been there so many times. I'm so ashamed of it. I've been repenting. I've been asking God to forgive me, Brother Allen. I've been asking God to forgive me. And I promise him, if I walk in here and every one of you are stone dead and every one of you are sitting there like you're mad at everybody and everything is wrong, I promise you, I'm going to walk right up here on this platform and I'm going to start praising God and I'm going to march and I'm going to shout and I'm going to sing and I'm going to say hallelujah and I'm going to bless God simply by faith because I love him and because I believe him because he's God and I'm one of his children because he's sovereign and I'm just dependent on him. Hallelujah. And I'm going to worship him. Anybody join me? Anybody want to worship God regardless of how you feel, regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of how tough you're having it, regardless if the bills aren't paid, regardless of if you didn't get your paycheck on time and you're still going to worship God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless that name of the Lord. I'm going to worship by faith. I'm going to worship by faith, not by feelings, faith. Woo, hallelujah. I don't care what you say. I think this is good preaching. I really do. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the Holy Ghost. He poured this in me. I'm going to tell you, I couldn't sleep last night. All through the night, I'm thinking about this sermon. Lord, I've got to teach my people, and I've got to learn for Joe Chambers how to live this life by faith. How every day of my life to live by faith. By every service, worship by faith. Every time I go to prayer, I pray by faith. Every time I start down the highway singing, I'm going to sing by faith. Every time I get in trouble, I'm going to by faith claim the miracles of God and just keep on trucking. Hallelujah. Because God doesn't fail. Hallelujah. Now the Bible backs that up. Did you know that? Did you know the Bible backs that up? If you don't believe it, go to Hebrews 11 and look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. See? Now you got to listen. When you worship by faith, you obtain witness that you are righteous. You testify to the people who are watching you that you're righteous when you worship by faith. I know Brother Marlon's having a bad week. I don't know this now. I'm just talking. I know things not been going well. And I know some of you have had some tough experiences. Some of you have had some really tough experiences. And I know that's true. I mean, I know pretty much where we are. Some tough experiences. You don't mind me saying you've really had some tough ones since you got saved. You really have. Some very tough ones. You don't know what they are. You don't need to know what they are. But tough ones. I could name others. But she's not missed. Have you missed a service? One Wednesday night, you were somewhere else. You see, you don't go to church and look down in the mouth when you're having a tough time. You go there. Square your shoulders. Hallelujah. Raise up your head. I'll never forget a lady came to me one time. She'd been mad at me for 6 months. And she came to me and said, I'm so sick of you, I could scream. She said, I can't stand you. Said, you get up there in that pulpit, and you know how angry I am, and you know how bad things are going, and you don't act like nothing is wrong. You just get up there and have church and worship and praise God. She said, I can't stand no more of it. I can't stand it. And she left and she was gone. We'd have been better off probably if she had left a little earlier because she was one mad woman. I want to tell you something. You hear me. Listen to me. You go to church, you go there to worship. It may be terrible what you've been through that morning. Have you ever got up on Sunday morning and everything went wrong? Have you ever got up on Sunday morning and you couldn't even get to church because the train was on the railroad track? You had to turn and go another way. Have you ever had a flat tire on the way to church? Have you ever had something go wrong with your car? Has mama and daddy ever had a fuss on the way to church in front of you? Oh, don't open your mouth. I don't want to hear it. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. There's been all of these little things. But what do you do when you get to God's house when it's been a bad day? Show what you do. Get up on your feet, would you? Hallelujah. Just keep on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you worship anyway when it's rough? Can you worship anyway when it's been tough? Can you worship anyway when everything's going on? If you can, stand up, will you? Can you worship anyway when the devil's coming at you like a big old storm? Can you still worship God? Can you still praise Him? Can you still shout hallelujah? Can you still sing? Can you, Brother Beasley? Hallelujah. Can you praise Him when it's been a bad week? Hallelujah. That's how you serve God. That's how you worship God. That's how you praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Abel worshiped by faith. Sister Judy worshiped by faith. Hallelujah. Sister Stephanie worshiped by faith. Oh, hallelujah. Worship by faith. Let me tell you, that's how we worship. We worship because we believe Him. How many of you believe God's God? How many of you believe Jesus is the Son of God that took your place at Calvary? How many of you believe you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? How many know that you belong to Him? Well, shout it and praise it and bless Him because He's worthy. And learn to come to church and praise God, hallelujah, with every bit of your heart and soul. Worship by faith. That's how we worship. Woo! Hallelujah. I love Him this morning. Hallelujah, Brother Dylan. Hallelujah. 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 What a God we serve. What a faithful God. And when you begin to worship, I guarantee you, your problems will get lighter. I guarantee you, your night will turn to day. Hallelujah. Remember, it was David that said, I beheld all of this. And he was so discouraged. He said, until I went to the house of God. Till I went to the house of God. Now, I'll tell you what he did when he got there. He started singing, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, and I'm not singing good. And he praised the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you laugh at me, Dylan. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. He's a great God, and I'm going to worship Him by faith. I'm going to worship Him because He's everything I need. Woo! Isn't it good? Isn't it good? Praise Him, sister. I consider them of it. Hello, Kushamite. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When you start going to church and you worship by faith, you'll get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You'll get healings. You'll get all kinds of miracles. All kinds of things will start happening to you when you go to church and you worship by faith, not by feelings. It don't matter what you feel. You worship God because He's God. Woo, hallelujah. Is this okay, Sister Nancy? Hallelujah. I love Him, don't you? I love Him. I love Him. Man, I love Him. I love Him. What a God we serve. I love it when we worship like this. It is so important. We live in a world that is so full of doubt and fear and every kind of everything, the darkness you could imagine. You may be seated. Now, church, I don't have time to go all the way through this, as you would know. I just don't have time. But I want to do one more thing. I want to deal with one more of these seven. And I'll probably get the other four tonight. That's what I'm thinking inside of me. And I want you to get them all written down. I want you to get them all deep down in your person. I want you to let them get a hold of you. They're transforming me. I'm telling you, they're changing Joe Chambers. They're changing me, and I'm grateful for it. I am really grateful for it. But number three is our victory over all of our enemies comes by faith. It don't come by you fighting them. It don't come by you getting all upset and weighed into it with a, you know, 2x4. I've done things like that. I've done some dummies. You know, how many of you have ever done any dummies when you had enemies coming against you? It's easy. It's easy. Oh, it's easy. But God doesn't want us to do that. God doesn't want us to do that. Let's go to Psalms 37. If you've never memorized this, you need to memorize this. It needs to be a part of your vocabulary. memorize the vocabulary. Psalms 37, 1. Fret not thyself because of evil doers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Do you know what you do when you get all fired up about your enemies? You know what you do when you get all mean and mad and angry? You scream and fuss back. You know what you do? You tie the hand of God to keep him from doing it for you. Let me tell you something. Your enemy is a whole lot worse shape when he's in the hand of God than when he's in your hand. When you put your hand on him, he's only going to get angry and get meaner and madder and do more and more. But when you put him in God's hands and you leave him there, I want you to know he's in a heap of trouble. He's in a heap of trouble. If you're truly God's servant and you're living by faith. Now, you do this by faith. You don't do this by some anger. You don't do this because, you know, did you ever hear about the old Indian that was having trouble? He'd got saved and he had some problems with some people. And so he went to the preacher. What do I do? He said, you just pray for them. So if you'll pray for them, you'll cause coals of fire and you'll call great judgment to fall on them. So just pray for them. So one night the Indian is there and he's in the altar. He's praying. He's screaming, praying. I'm praying for John. I'm praying for John. He prays an hour. He prays 2 hours. And the preacher goes to him and says, sir, you're overdoing it. He says, I'm trying to burn him to a cinder. I'm trying to burn him to a cinder. He thought he was praying he could burn him into a cinder. No, that's not how it works. You turn him over to God, and God will decide whether he needs to be a cinder or whether he needs to be forgiven. And in some cases, he may be forgiven. Who knows? Hallelujah. So you must learn to trust God with your enemies. You must learn to trust God with your enemies. You must put them in God's hands. You must leave them in God's hands. Did I say it was easy? No, this is probably the toughest thing you will ever have to do. This will probably be the toughest thing of your walk by faith. I guarantee you that more people have fallen by the wayside because of some numbskull enemy than anything else in their life. I guarantee you more people have lost out with God because they got bitter and they got resentful and they got angry and they started treating their enemies, whom they conceived at least as their enemies. How many times in the church have people got angry with somebody in the church and it got so bad they became so bitter that they didn't only destroy themselves, they destroyed family members, they destroyed other people because they were bitter against an enemy. Let me tell you, God's able to take care of your enemies, and it must be in God's hand to do so. Hallelujah. Let me give you a closing verse for this sermon, and it's in the book of Isaiah 54 and 17. 54 and 17. This is a powerful verse. This is a powerful verse. Listen, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Woo! Can you believe that? No weapon that is formed against you can prosper. Not a weapon. That is, as long as you keep your hands off. Did you hear me? As long as you keep your hands off. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. When somebody's gossiping and telling a bunch of baloney about you, you just say, Father, in Jesus' name, as you taught me in the Bible, I condemn that. I don't condemn it by my power, but by faith in Christ, I condemn that bit of gossip that's going around and being spread. I had to do that this morning. I had to do that this morning. I am amazed, but I'm trying my best to learn how to do it. Just plain old condemn that mess. Just none but talk. Condemn it. Condemn it. Condemn it. He says, thou shalt condemn it. Let me tell you what would happen. Somebody stand up for me that I could use as an example. I'm sometimes feel bad when I use people example because they might want me to. Brother Buck, if somebody comes against you and somebody's telling a bunch of gossip and baloney on you, I doubt they would do it to a man like you. You're too precious. But sometimes they do. Sometimes they look for the precious person to do it to. And when they do that, you have a right to get on your knees before God and say, "Now, Father, I'm condemning those words that they're saying about me, because I know that dozens of people out there are hearing it, and I'm afraid they're going to be affected. They'll lose confidence in me. So, Father, I'm condemning those words." And all of a sudden, those people who've been hearing them, it all of a sudden grips their mind. You know, I guarantee you that's not true. I know that Buck Lindsey. I know that man. He's not that kind of a man. I know he's not guilty of that. And so I'm dismissing the whole thing. And it just falls. You condemned it. God took care of it. And the person who had heard it, it fell out of their mind. And they were free. And you go out on shouting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it even gets better if you want to read the rest of that verse. I'm telling you, God is a faithful God. You don't have to worry about my Heavenly Father. He will take care of you. Hear me now. He says, "Thou shalt condemn this." This is the heritage. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. It's your heritage. It's your heritage. You've inherited this, in other words. Boy, is that not beautiful? You've inherited the right to know that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and the tongue that gossips about you thou shalt condemn. This is your heritage. This is your heritage. And their righteousness, that's your righteousness, is of me, saith the Lord. Wow. Woo, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. Living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, depending on nothing but His love. Brother Ed, I want you to practice that song this afternoon, Living by Faith. You may already know it. Living by faith. I want to sing it tonight. Living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, depending on His great love. Would you stand? Now, I preached to you this morning out of a pastor's heart. This is what I call a pastor's sermon. Now, I know you're looking at me saying, "I thought you sound like to me you was preaching to yourself." You're right. Exactly. But I'm not ashamed of it. I don't mind being vulnerable. I don't mind being open. I'm not telling you, I'm as much in need of the grace of God as anybody in this building. I don't survive without it. Oh, I love you. Let's just worship Him. Father, I love you this morning. Sweet as a song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Go ahead and sing whatever you got there. We're going to worship. Lord, we're loving you. Everybody worship. Everybody worship. I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring. If shadows or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything. And all of my weary is vain.
Come on, sing it.
Living by faith
in Jesus
above.
Trusting,
confiding
in His great love.
From all harm saved.
In His sheltering arms. I'm living by faith.